Thank you, Angelina. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for being here today. And thank you for joining us online. We're so grateful for this opportunity to get together again. And our summer season has begun. We just had graduation last week. And so we are in the middle of the beginning of our summer season and in the middle of great things that God is doing. So I want you to stand back up to your feet again, if you would. And I want to, I don't typically do this, but I want to have you have a confession. And as soon as the offering buckets go by, go ahead, and those of you who are giving, go ahead and do that. But while you're doing that, I want you to say after me, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am deeply loved by God. I am righteous in Christ. I am holy in Christ. And I just happen to be obsessed with Jesus. My spirit is a brand new creation. And I am diligent to guard my heart. My body no longer belongs to me. I was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. My body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I will glorify God in my body and with my body. I will never be sick again. I'm dead to whatever I want to do. But alive to what God wants me to do. I am a doer of the word. I'm not deceived by only being a hearer. And I resist comparison. I replace it with thanksgiving. I redeem my time. I do not waste time. I'm a good steward over my time. I pay attention to my attractions and my distractions. Submitting them all to the will of God. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I keep my mind stayed on Jesus. And think on things that are lovely and of a good report. And God keeps me in perfect peace. I give thanks in everything. And I will fulfill my destiny. To God be all the glory. Now, come on, let's lift up our hands and just say thank you to Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. We lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who is not against us, but you are the God who is for us. And we bless you with a heart of thanksgiving today, thanking you for all that you have done. And we mean all that you have done. And Lord God, we give you all the praise and the thanksgiving. And all of God's people said, amen. Give somebody a high five on your way down. Hallelujah. I want to teach a message today that I'm excited to bring to you. And I'm calling this today, Do You Trust Me? Amen. Do you trust me? And I want to re-examine some things today, especially faith, and take a fresh look at what the Word of God actually says compared to what we've heard or maybe what we think it says. For instance, in Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So when it comes to healing, we know healing is by faith. So if we aren't experiencing what we're believing for, is it because I don't have enough faith? And if that's the case, am I also then a disappointment to God? I mean, after all, it's impossible to please God without faith. So where am I? What's going on? Well, that's not even what that verse is talking about. We're going to go back and look again at the rest of the verse. So let's look at it again. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So this is talking about an unbeliever becoming a believer. He who comes to God must believe that he is. So we're going to expose some lies of the enemy today, and I believe you are going to be so encouraged by the time you leave here or by the time you go to whatever's next for those of you joining us on the internet. But I want to challenge you that your faith must be in the healer and not in the outcome. Amen. Now, yes, the outcome is important, absolutely, but it's so subtle that we don't even know it's happening when we reverse it and we get ourselves into a place of striving. So remember, root always produces fruit. Fruit does not produce root. Healing is such a vast topic, but I want to propose to you that God did all the heavy lifting by sending Jesus. Jesus was the healer, he is the healer, and he will forever always be the healer. So I want to ask you, when did healing start to get so complicated? What would your answer be if I was sitting down at a table with you right now and I asked you? How many of you ever felt like it was up to you to get your healing? Come on. Raise your hand and shame the devil. How about your faith walk? Does it feel like walking by faith has become harder and harder? The Bible says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter, but you know what? A lot of times it really doesn't feel like that. It feels like the path of the person in faith, it's becoming harder and harder. But listen to what Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 says. As you have therefore received, wait a minute, as you have therefore received, wait a minute, as you have therefore received, is that past tense? Yes. It's okay to talk to me. Yes. Okay, is that past tense? Yes. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? So walk in him. All right, so how did you receive him? By faith. Was it hard? No. Did you have to work for it? No. So how do you walk in him now? By faith. So I want to remind you that faith is not a formula. Faith is just simply trusting in God. We were never told to have faith in our faith. We're supposed to have faith in him. Faith in the Son of God. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto what? Looking unto Jesus, the author, hallelujah, the author. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice it doesn't say looking unto Moses. It doesn't say looking unto yourself. It doesn't even say looking to WebMD. Hello, right? Who are you looking to for your answers? We need to keep our focus on Jesus, and we need to stop focusing on other things, including our faith. Man, I remember a time when I was so obsessed with my faith, that's all I could see or was trying to see. I was so focused on me. Philemon 1:6, by the way, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today because in healing now, that's what we do. Okay, so if you're taking notes, just write down the scriptures. You can look them up later. If you're online and you don't have access to notes right now, you can always go back and pause me. That's the best thing about watching when it's already archived. You can just pause me and then you can review that again, right? But you guys are going to know many of these scriptures, but Philemon 1 and verse 6 says this, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by what? Acknowledgement or acknowledging of every good thing that is in you, not I hope it will be in me someday, but acknowledging every good thing that is already in you by Christ Jesus. What if we started acknowledging what we've already been given? Instead of trying to receive something that I already have, every good thing that's in us already is because of Jesus Christ. So instead of trying to receive something I've already received, see how frustrating that is? Instead, now I acknowledge what I've already been given. Philemon 1:6 again says the communication of your faith will become effective. It'll become effectual. How? By acknowledging what I've already been given in Christ Jesus. But if I don't believe I've been given it, then you know what? I'm going to try to get it. I'm going to spend years and years trying to get something that in reality I was already given. How frustrating is that? So look at Romans 8 and verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everybody say with me today, all things. All things. And say it again, all things. He gave us what? All things. Freely, he gave us all things. Well, I looked up all things, and guess what it means? All things. So you know what? You're not trying to get healing. Healing's already yours. Healing's already alive and well in you because you have the healer. You're not trying to get him. You already have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Sounds a little bit like Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. See, when we're not seeking after what the world seeks after, but we begin to walk after Jesus, everything that was already given to us begins to just naturally flow out of our lives. So I want to stir you up today with maybe a fresh perspective, maybe a new way of thinking about this. Instead of believing for an outcome, for a healing, what if we just put our faith in Jesus? Amen? When you're believing for a healing, you simply are saying, I trust you. When you feel like you're falling short in the area of faith, actually, you know what? A faith problem, quote unquote, is always a relationship problem. So let's take a look at this. What is faith? Well, Hebrews 11:1 is the description of how faith operates. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, okay? Again, faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this is a description of how faith operates. But if I were to ask you, yeah, but what is it? What is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. Don't make it hard, amen? The church has done a really good job at making this really hard, okay? Faith is simply trusting God. Faith is believing that God loves you, and he loves you so much that he provided for you, he forgave you, he healed you. Whatever need you're facing in your life, you can approach that by saying, he loves me. Hallelujah. He loves me so much, he already dealt with what I needed. He already gave me what I needed. So one of the things we like to say now in our household, after every scripture, for instance, by his stripes I'm healed, we add on there, because you love me. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, because you love me. See? Why do I know? Because you love me. Why can I have confidence in the things that you've said? Because I know you love me. So what is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. Faith is believing that God loves me so much that he's already supplied every need and given me all things. And again, I looked it up, and what does it mean? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. So faith is now simply my response to who he is and to what he's given, what he's already done for me. Faith is taking God at his word and simply trusting in what Jesus already finished on your behalf. Listen to this. You don't have to use your faith to try to move God. Ask me how I know. I spent years trying to move God only to realize he wasn't the one who was stuck. It was me. I'm the one that needed to move. Amen? I don't have to use my faith to move God or to try to convince God that I've done enough to qualify for his blessing. I don't have to try to convince him that I'm qualified in order to be healed. And faith isn't even an intellectual agreement. I may agree intellectually, but not really be operating in faith. So instead, what do? I simply trust God. I have a dependence upon God. Now, one of my new favorite scriptures, it's not new to the Bible, and it's not even new, but it's one of my new favorite scriptures, is Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh or in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. There it is. Not faith in my faith, not faith for healing. But where's my faith? My faith is in the Son of God who, what? Loved me and gave himself for who? For me. I don't have to try to convince him. He's already done what needed to be done. Hallelujah. He has already given himself for me. So here we see that our faith is to be in Jesus. Literally, I live now by the faith of the Son of God. So how do you get faith? Well, your response is probably going to be exactly like mine, which is good. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I want to take a look at this in context, okay? Romans 10, you guys know it, but let's look at it again with a pair of fresh eyes. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So a whole series of questions here. Then, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That's important to understand. They've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Literally, the word of God here is the word of Christ. Faith comes when I receive or I hear the message of the gospel and receive that gift as my own. When I hear the gospel, which is all about Jesus Christ, okay? If you were to say, what is the gospel? It's the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, okay? When I hear that and I receive that gift as my own, then I literally am born of faith. Many have taught that if I confess over and over the promises and I listen to messages about faith, everything will eventually manifest in my life. But is this really what Paul was saying here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? I don't believe it was. This kind of doctrine puts me in a performance mode, and I have to do in order to get. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to confess this. I'm going to do until it starts manifesting in my life. No. Faith was never about you getting what you want, but rather about giving God your trust. You believe that God is trustworthy. And I'm sure you've heard the phrase word of faith. I came out of a Baptist background. My dad was a Baptist preacher. And so when we started getting spirit filled, we went from the Baptist world, if you will, into the word of faith. And, you know, we've heard about faith movements, faith churches, that kind of thing. And we were taught many, many wonderful things. And I thank God for all that we learned. But much of what we were taught was about having faith for this, faith for that. And there was a huge emphasis on what I needed to do in order to get what I was believing God for. How many can relate to what I'm saying? Okay, so what is the word of faith? What does that actually mean? Okay, we know how it's been used. We know how most people would see it or understand it. But let's look again at Romans 10, 8 through 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is what? The word of faith, which we preach. Uh-oh. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what is the word of faith? It's actually talking about your relationship with God as you are about to become a brand new creation. This word in the Greek for the word is the word rhema. When we talk about the word is near you in your mouth and even in your heart, that is the word of faith. This word is the word, the Greek word rhema. And most of us would understand that logos is the written word of God. Rhema is the word that's been revealed to you. Okay, I don't necessarily disagree with that definition, but I want to take it a step further. I believe that when you become a doer of the logos, it becomes rhema to you. Okay? It's not just a word revealed, because when you get to heaven, you could say to the Lord, well, that was never revealed to me. Therefore, I have an excuse. I never really had that revealed to me. Well, was the word logos in your heart? Yes, well, the Bible says if you hear the word and you don't do it, then you're deceived, right? So when we hear the logos and we put it into action in our lives, it literally becomes a rhema word to us. It becomes revealed to the point that we're now putting it into action in our lives. Can you see that? So this is how you know your mind is renewed, is when you think what the word says. In other words, if I get a 911 call and someone says, will you meet me at the hospital? I'm not trying to search for a scripture about healing. I've moved past that and now I'm doing it. It's become rhema to me. I'm putting it into action in my life. I don't have to go to the word of God and go, let's see, 1 Peter something or other, let's see, Isaiah 50 something. No, I don't have to go there, but I did it one time. But now it's become so real to me that I'm living it from the inside out. It's literally become rhema to me. So again, this is the word of faith we see in Romans 10, 8 through 10 in context. It's with the heart that we believe under right standing with God. This isn't talking about faith for stuff. Faith was never given by God as a formula for personal gain. Yes, God wants you blessed. He wants you so blessed that you can give and live to give. But it's not a formula for personal gain. This is all about trusting in the finished works of Jesus and responding to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's look at this a little bit closer. Romans 10, 14 says, faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, okay? So faith comes. So let me ask you this. When faith comes, where does it come to? You ever thought about that? Where does it come to? It comes to your spirit man. When you're not a believer and you apply what we just went through here out of Romans and you become a believer, in that instant, you become a brand new creation. And you know what? You just now have been born of the faith of God himself. Where does faith come? It comes to your spirit man. And we see this confirmed in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 through 24, which talk about the fruit of the spirit. Now, we see this in Galatians 5 that it's referred to as faithfulness, okay? Faithfulness. Well, the same word, faith, is that same word in the Bible. So when you're born again, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, where does it come? Comes to your spirit man. You already have the faith of God living on the inside of your spirit man. See, goodness, peace, long-suffering, all of the fruit, including faith. You have the very faith of God himself. So this is awesome, because what we recognize is that faith is actually a fruit of the Spirit of God. We're not trying to get faith. I want you to really hear me this afternoon. You're not trying to get faith. Faith was given to you as a gift. You can't earn it. Amen. Your spirit man became a brand new creation, so we don't have to keep trying to get what we've already been given. This is why it's such a demonic lie when we're told that we don't have enough faith. It's actually a doctrine of demons. Okay, so wait a minute. How crazy is this? Faith is a gift from God, and now when you need it the most, you don't have it? Or you don't have enough of it? No wonder people are frustrated. I'd be frustrated too. You've just been told that God's gift to you was not enough, or that you somehow ended up with some cheap, inferior imitation. Well, you know what? That is a lie from the pit of hell. When Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again, just like he told Nicodemus, if you heard Jesus say that to you and you received him, that's when faith came. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you heard the word of Christ, the true gospel message, instantly you became a brand new creation. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then verse 21 goes on to say, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. John the Baptist made a powerful statement that I really believe we need to re-examine. And it's found in John chapter 3 and verse 27. And listen to what John said. So wise. He said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. Wow. A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. So when you're born again, you're actually born again by the Spirit of God. You are given new life from heaven itself. And Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. See, and when our faith is in God, then verse 23 and 24 makes sense of Mark 11. When we have faith in God, then we can speak to the mountain and we'll see the mountain cast into the sea. Our faith has to be in God, not in us or what I've done or what I have accomplished, but not even having faith in our faith, but our faith is in what? In God. Everybody say, same spirit. Say it again, same spirit.
Same spirit.
Now say it like you mean it.
Same spirit.
All right, see, when you recognize that you have the same spirit, then I believe we're going to start embracing the fact that we can do the same works. Let's look at it. Romans 8, verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, notice, not just with you or hopefully one day, no. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Same spirit. Can you see how we've been lied to? We have been given so much that we don't acknowledge or recognize, which is why we're often challenged, especially in the middle of a storm. Romans 12:3 says this, "You've been given the measure of faith," which was written to believers, by the way, "and this measure is the same for every believer. It's the same faith that Jesus had." I often thought, you know what? I must have gotten a really small measure. When God was passing out faith that day, I must have gotten the teaspoon line. You know? Have you ever felt like that? Like, I don't know, I must have gotten the small, you know. No, you've got the same faith that raised Jesus from the dead, dwelling on the inside of you. Same spirit, same faith, same measure. And it's been given to every believer. So how do we know? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us," by what? "The righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ." It's not my faith. I've been given his faith that now lives on the inside of me because I'm in right standing with Jesus Christ, all because of what he's done. Another translation says it this way, "Faith of the same value," or "faith of the same kind is ours." So not only is our faith a gift from God, but so is his grace that he's given to us. See, everything we have is a gift from God. And guess what? When it's a gift, you can't pay for it. When it's a gift, you can't earn it. All you can do is receive it and say thank you. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says this, "But to each one of us grace was given according to," what? "The measure of Christ's gift." Each one of us was given grace according to the measure of whose gift? Christ's gift, not me. I'm not the standard. I'm not the healer. According to Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to me. Tell somebody next to you today, you're loaded. Tell your other neighbor, you're really loaded. Amen. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to me. Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 tells us that unbelievers do not have the measure of faith. Okay? God's delivered us from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. So who doesn't have faith? The unbeliever. We're talking about something supernatural. We're talking about something that is so divine, so not natural, that it'll turn impossible into possible. It's the source of miracles and the supernatural life of God that's living within every single one of us as believers, to where Jesus made the most outlandish statement when he said, "Those who believe will do the same works that I do." Ooh, glory to God. Faith is literally a gift from God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures today, but I warned you ahead of time, okay? Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that," what? "Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So how big is the measure of faith? Is it really the same as Jesus? The same faith that raised Jesus from the dead? Yes, it is. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Just flip over a chapter there, starting with verse 15. Ephesians 1. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in," who? "The Lord Jesus," not faith in you, faith in your faith, But after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, now listen to this, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This is the same faith. This is the same power that we have been given. And Paul is writing to the Ephesian church and he's saying, God, open up their eyes. Open up their eyes to what they've already been given. And church, I'm saying to you today, we need to open up the eyes of our understanding. Stop asking God for something he's already done. Stop asking God for something he's already given and begin to acknowledge what we already have. Amen. Matthew 17, Jesus made a statement to the disciples that is almost humorous in verse 20 when he said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'd see mountains move. We've got the same faith that raised Jesus from the dead. What if we just believed that our faith was as big as a mustard seed? But in reality, we have the measure of faith. The same measure that was in Jesus is now in us. And Jesus said, even if your faith was as tiny as a mustard seed, you would be able to move mountains. Listen, I'm telling you, God wants to move some mountains today. Amen? God wants to move some places that you haven't been able to get over, some places you haven't been able to get around, some places that have been hard places in your life. And God says, absolutely, it's possible. Only believe. Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like what? A mustard seed. See, From these ideas of just small, mighty things begin to happen, let alone now everything that we've been given in Christ, which is already bigger than we can even ask or bigger than we can even imagine. So, if we have the same faith that raised Jesus from the dead, then is our struggle really against unbelief? Well, okay, maybe part of it. But have we made our unbelief about the outcome, or was there something even bigger going on here? I want to propose to you this, that it's really not unbelief in the outcome that we deal with most of the time, but rather unbelief in God himself. We've all heard teaching that was focused on faith for healing, faith for finances, faith for relationship, faith for this, faith for that. You know what? How about if we just put our faith in God and let that be the root of our life to where all the fruit comes from? Naturally, our belief will be outcome-based as well. Our unbelief became outcome-based as well because of where our thinking was in that old line of reasoning. But was that really the issue? No, what we discover is that our unbelief has been in not trusting God himself, who he is, his character, his word. God, I think I believe you, but I'm not sure. I think you're trustworthy, but yeah, I don't know. Okay, Hebrews 3, verse 19. The Hebrews could not enter in because of their what? Unbelief. So the root of their unbelief was that they didn't trust God. It wasn't that they couldn't enter in. The entering in, or the not entering in, I should say, was a result of not trusting God. Can you see that? So not trusting God was the root, and not entering in was the fruit. So unbelief at its core is really questioning whether God is really faithful or not. Is he really who he says he is? I know his word says that, but is that really what it means? I've shared this before, but I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, well, Daniel, the word is the ideal, but come on, we live in the real. Is that really what it means? And you know what? How many times have you had theologians or religious people talk you out of what the word actually said? Well, I know it says by his stripes you're healed, but actually that just means spiritual. I heard it all. We even see this with the disciples where they struggled with this. When Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to sink. What? God, are you really faithful? Did you really mean come when you said? See? So we put our faith in the outcome, but God is saying, will you put your faith in me? And when you put your faith in me, watch what happens. Jesus said to Peter, why did you doubt? We know Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. How about the disciples with a boy with a demon? Remember that story? Matthew chapter 17. Their real questions in their hearts was trusting in the authority that they had been given by Jesus. It worked before, but I'm not sure it's going to work this time. See? So many have been taught that unbelief is not that we're believing hard enough. That's why we have unbelief. We're just not believing hard enough. But Jesus always addressed the relationship with God and the trust in God, not the strength of their faith for a specific result. So ultimately, it's about our faith in him, his character, his love for us. And that's why Hebrews 3 and verse 12 refers to all unbelief as evil, an evil heart of unbelief. So I'm hearing what God is saying, but I'm not really trusting it. That's an evil heart of unbelief. I'm not sure God is actually worthy of my trust. So Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Did you know that you can believe God even when you don't understand it? Belief says, I trust you even if I don't get it. Unbelief says, I won't trust you unless I do get it. God will often call you to do something impractical or something that doesn't make sense because he wants you to do something impossible. He asked Moses to speak to a rock. Remember? What if we just started speaking to our body, let alone speaking to mountains or rocks? Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, we can be like little children in regards to the kingdom. Well, you know what? I have several grandchildren, as Angelina said when she introduced me, and our youngest is now 5 years old. When he gets up in the morning, he doesn't go, oh, I got to believe God for breakfast this morning. I believe I'm going to get to eat some breakfast today. Man, I got to believe for the electricity to stay on. I got to believe for, no, he has no idea about any of that. Why? Because he just simply trusts his parents are going to take care of all of it. God says, do you trust me? I want you to be like a little child when it comes to trusting. We should become like little children in regards to the kingdom, Matthew 18:3 tells us. We don't want to be children in maturity, but we want to be like children when it comes to trusting God. You know, if you tell your child, you know, Jesus healed you, they're like, oh, okay. Hallelujah. Thank you. My little grandson, I talk about him a lot because I really love him and he's pretty awesome. But he's already laying hands on sick people and seeing them recover. He's 5 years old. Amen? There's a lady with a steel plate right down here on the second row during one of our events. And the speaker had everybody turn around and minister to somebody that was close to them, you know. And Zion Judah, my grandson, he said, "I want to pray." I said, "Okay, put your hands on her." And he began to declare the word of God over her. Well, it turns out the lady had a steel plate in her head. And she could tap the side of her head and hear an echo. Whenever she would do that, she would hear an echo, if you could imagine this, in her head. And after Zion prayed, she started yelling really loud, very excited. And she's doing this. And Todd White was the speaker that day. And he said, "What's going on down here?" And the lady said, "My plate is gone. There's no echo in my head anymore." Well, see, when you train kids from the time they're young like that, they think it's normal. Because supernaturally, it is. This is what God has called for every believer. Amen. These signs will follow those who, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will. See, what if we just trusted God at his word to be what it means? We've had to have help through the years with a lot of unbelief to try to get us to rationalize. I'm not really sure that's what it means. Maybe God said that, but I'm not sure he means that. Wow. Become like a little children when it comes to trusting God. Again, as I wrap this up today, faith is not a formula. Faith is about God. Mark 11:22, again, have faith in God. Not having faith in your faith or faith even in the outcome. Yes, God wants you to prosper. Yes, God wants you to experience healing. Yes, God wants you to walk in the blessing. But he doesn't want your faith to be in the outcome. He wants it to be in him. Because when you trust him, the root produces the fruit. Faith simply says, "I trust you for who you are." And you know what? God is trustworthy. Now, just write these down. Those of you who are taking notes, we don't have time to get into all these. This would be a whole nother teaching. But let me just give you five quick examples here. Write down Acts chapter 3, verse 11. This is the lame man at the gate beautiful. Okay? These are all examples of trusting God. The lame man at the gate beautiful, Acts 3:11. Then we have the two blind men. We find them in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Matthew 9, 27 and 28. Then we have the story of the leper, which is Matthew 8, verses 2 and 3. Then we have the woman with the issue of blood, Matthew 9, verse 20 and 22. All these people simply put their trust in God. The paralytic, number five, the paralytic. And this is found in Luke chapter 5, verse 20 through 25. Listen, it frustrates me that people have been told so often things that are religious lies. You don't have enough faith. Your faith is inferior. You know, the reason you haven't received your manifestation, quote unquote. We have all these religious phrases and ideas. Listen, the truth is you're already healed. We've just heard it in Scripture. You've been given all things. I've never heard anybody say, "I believe I'm forgiven, but I'm just waiting for the manifestation." Why do we do that with healing? The same atonement that provided the forgiveness of our sin provided the healing of our bodies. And in Christ, we've already been given it all. So listen, don't check your body to see if you're healed. Check your source, the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is my mirror. See, I'm going to look into the mirror of God's Word. I'm not going to look into the mirror of the natural world to see if my symptoms have left. When my symptoms leave, then I'll know I'm healed. Wrong. You got to know you're healed from the inside out in order for those symptoms to leave. When I feel forgiven, then I'm going to know that I really am forgiven. You might be waiting a long time. We know that we know. What do we know? We know what we've been given as a free gift in Jesus Christ. And as a result of his love for us, all things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to us. Therefore, now my life can submit to the will of God. My symptoms that I still have in my body don't even matter anymore. Why? Because I know that I know that I know, and the truth I know is what's setting me free. See, instead of focusing on the symptoms, instead of focusing on the waves and the wind, instead of focusing on whatever we're focusing on, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, everything else, we seek first the kingdom, everything else becomes the fruit. Because we're operating now out of the root. Amen. This is a game changer, isn't it? This would get you kicked out of a lot of churches. I'm okay with that. Amen? Because it's the truth you know. Listen, isn't it interesting that the very people who are fighting you about healing, ask them, so is it working for you? No, it's not. So why are you criticizing the people that it is working for? Isn't that interesting? Same thing happened to Jesus. They actually accused him of being of the devil. Why? Because they were so immersed into the world of legalism that they could not see the very answer standing in front of them. They were so deceived by being wrapped up in their own pharisaical works that they couldn't even recognize the word of truth who was right in their midst. The great physician, the healer himself, right there, doing the supernatural works that he was doing by the life of the Father that was in him. And now the religious world is accusing him of having a devil. Let me ask you, when was the last time the devil did anything good for you? You know, when I came out of the Baptist church, I eventually got spirit-filled, and I was in college in Boulder, Colorado, majoring in music, and my freshman year, I got spirit-filled. And I went back to my Baptist church, and I thought they were going to be thrilled over the fact that I was spirit-filled and spoke in tongues. That didn't quite happen like that. I had dear friends that I loved who told me that what I had just experienced was from the devil. Now, I shouldn't have done this, and I'm sorry to say I did, but I went on a 2-year journey of descent into rebellion and rejection and hurt. There's no hurt like church hurt. True? And so I began to just act out and do everything I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing. And I hung around the devil's crowd for about 2 years. And you know what? Never one time did I hear anybody praying in tongues. So if tongues was from the devil, don't you think you'd be hearing everybody in the devil's... See, it's amazing how the devil tries to discredit the very things that God says, you're going to do the same works. Amen? You're going to do the things that Jesus did. Well, how are you going to do them? By relationship with him. It's him in me that does the works. Just like Jesus said, I'm not doing it when he was on the earth. He said, it's the Father in me who's doing the works. I can only do what he shows me and what I see and what I hear. Well, you know what? That's all he's asking for us. Who will do the same works that Jesus is doing? I believe I'm looking at a whole room of people today who are saying yes to God. I believe I'm looking at a whole group of people on the internet today that are saying yes to God. Do you trust him? This is the question. Is our faith in him, or is our faith in our faith? Is our faith in the outcome of how I want it to be? No, God says, I will prosper you. I will bless you. I've already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want you well more than you want to be well. I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. But how we're going to do it is by being connected to the vine. We got to be in the root in order for that branch to be producing the fruit. So I want you just to stand to your feet today. And as we do, I want to just ask if you would be bold and say, Lord, is there any area of my life today where I'm believing a lie, where I'm believing something that is not true of you? Maybe I have submitted to some kind of religious idea instead of really knowing the truth and letting the truth set me free. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us what we need to see. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to hear what we need to hear. And God, I pray that any of these religious ideas that have held us in places of limitation, God, that we would literally allow those to fall off of our hearts, allow those to be cut away from our hearts with the sword of the Spirit, as you divide us between spirit and soul, joints and marrow, and thoughts and intentions of our heart. God, I pray that everything that is not of faith, everything that is not of you, would literally start falling off of our lives to where we would become so God-centered, so Christ-centered, that we would say, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Come on, let's just give the Lord a moment. Just thank him from your own heart. Thank him from your own heart. When you've been given a gift, what do you say? Thank you. Go ahead, tell him thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your faith. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your life. Thank you, Lord God, that you are my healer. You are my life. I'm in you, and you are in me. And together we will produce much fruit. So Lord, we just bless you today and thank you for the power of your word working in us and operating through us to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask our healing disciples if you would come forward. And again, thank you for serving us. Those who are ministering today, so appreciate you. During our summer months, we have a lot of our weeks that are going to be replays over the summer. So always check our website to make sure that we're going to be here live. That's the best way to not come and nobody be here, okay? So check that website because we're going to be live several times over the course of the summer, but there are some times when we will not be able to be. So I want to just make you aware of that. Those of you joining on the internet, before I let you go, you guys, most of you know this already, but we have prayer ministers in our call center that are standing by right now to take your call. If you want someone to pray for you right where you are, no matter what time zone you're in, no matter what day it is, our call center is now open 24 hours a day, and we're seeing powerful results. Because you know what? We serve a powerful God. We don't have to make this come true. All God is saying to us is what we heard today. Who will believe the report of the Lord? Amen. I don't want you to have to do this alone. Call that number on your screen, 719-635-1111. And I believe you are going to see breakthrough today. I often say to people, but it's because it's true, why not you and why not now? God is not against you. He's for you. And you know what? He wants you walking in abundant life beyond what you can even ask or imagine. It's so good. As he is, so are we in this world. Not just when we get to heaven, but God literally brought heaven to earth to where we could now be living in abundant life. And if it's this good now, as the song says, we can only imagine what it's going to be like when we get to see him face to face and literally be with him for all eternity. But right now, listen, through your story, through your testimony, through what God is doing in you, you're going to be able to help ignite fires all over the world as a result of experiencing the goodness of God. And I just want to invite you to share that testimony. When you get that breakthrough in your life, you've got that happy dance going on in the privacy of your own home. Man, don't just keep that to yourself. Tell some friends, write to us, let us know, because we want to share in your joy, and we want to also share that testimony around the world. So God bless you. Thank you for being with us today. We look forward to the next time that we're able to be together. Those of you here in the auditorium,